I love this text from Christopher in South Australia. Hi, Waleed. If we don't have something to whinge about, that means that whatever is wrong with our lives is our own fault. So, viva la whinge. Fair enough. As we've been hearing, consumer confidence rose only slightly in June, despite the latest cut in interest rates and some upbeat economic data. Seems like a tide of negative international news from Europe has been weighing on our minds. And last week, the Governor of the Reserve Bank of Australia, Glenn Stevens, urged Australians to think about the economy as a glass half full. He's reiterated that message today. So why the despair? Interest rates falling, which is great if you've got a mortgage. There appear to be plenty of jobs around. Last week's healthy GDP figures took a lot of people by surprise. Ross Gittins, the economics editor with the Sydney Morning Herald, can you help me out here?
Well, I can try, Waleed.
Go for it.
Well, I think there is a lot of dissatisfaction. I think part of the and unhappiness, we keep being told that people are terribly concerned about the cost of living, but you don't see that reflected in the consumer confidence figures when you remember that since November, mortgage interest rates, the ones people actually pay, have fallen by almost a percentage point. Mm. That's meant to be good news for people with mortgages. And also that the government has been sending out a lot of increases in payments in family allowances and so on in readiness for the start of the carbon tax on the 1st of July. So people have been getting money in the hand from the government in recent days, but that's not showing up in the consumer confidence indicator. So I think that that's probably saying that we're putting more emphasis on the bad news we're hearing about what's happening to the economy in the rest of the world, and probably attaching more significance to that than we should. We when the share market goes down, that gets a lot of publicity. When it goes up a bit, that doesn't get much publicity. Mm. Everything, the media emphasises the bad side of everything. And I think another element in all this is a large degree of political dissatisfaction. We're very unhappy with the way federal politics are working at the moment. Mm. Obviously, there's a lot of lack of confidence in the Gillard government. People are not happy with her. I think it's probably a long time since any government's been standing as badly in the polls as this government has consistently for well over a year. But then, at the same time, the polls tell us that Tony Abbott is not at all popular. So people are very kind of dissatisfied and not at all sure that if only we could get a change of government, it'd all be wonderful again.
Yeah, right. I mean, in this, the element of minority government, I guess, always injects uncertainty. And so that creates a certain level of unease and dissatisfaction. And if you're feeling uncertain, you might withhold. You may not feel great about consuming.
Ah, well, you see, that's the trick, Waleed. I mean, this is actually a problem for me because I am a great believer that people's mood influences their economic behaviour. Mm. And I think that economists don't actually take enough account of people's mood. But right now, the evidence is not running my way.
It's going the opposite way, really, isn't it?
The evidence says people say they're terribly unhappy. They complain about all these things. They're anxious about things. The media has given them a quite exaggerated impression of the extent to which people are losing their jobs. Some people are losing their jobs. People lose their jobs every month. Mm-hmm. Most of those things don't get reported. When a tiny manufacturing firm somewhere in Australia lays off 300 people, it goes onto the headlines.
Yes.
We've got a workforce of 11.5 million people, and yet we think that when we hear that 300 people are being laid off, we think it's the end of the economy.
Yeah, right. And so we import that into our own lives. I've got another theory that we could perhaps test, and that is that maybe the figures that we're getting actually aren't that meaningful. I mean, maybe it doesn't mean that much to us to hear that GDP is growing at a certain amount.
I think that's very true. And that's all part of the kind of perception problem.
But maybe it's more than perception. Maybe it's that those figures don't actually correspond to a reality that's close to ours. That, I mean, by having big aggregate national figures like this, it doesn't really tell us much about our circumstances.
For an academic like you, Waleed, I'm very surprised to hear you say that, because what you're really saying is, let's not try and figure out what's going on the basis of objective evidence. Let's reject the objective evidence. Let's say there must be something, since it doesn't accord with my perceptions.
No, I'm saying maybe something wrong. I'm saying maybe the objective evidence is using the wrong frame. I mean, maybe by taking national figures and looking at aggregate figures like that, we mask a more microscopic reality.
Well, there could be something in that. And, of course, there is some truth to the two-speed economy thing. I think it's actually quite exaggerated. I don't believe that New South Wales and Victoria are doing as badly as a lot of people in those states imagine. And I don't think that when you look carefully at the statistics, that's what they're saying. But certainly a lot of people are hanging their hat on that. Now, look, I think that the statistical measures, we know that they have limitations, that they are subject to revision and so on, but I don't think they're off the planet. And when people start thinking they're off the planet because what these numbers say, the government must have gone into an office somewhere and made them up because they just don't accord with my life, I'm going with the figures all the time.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not saying dismiss the figures. It's more a question of what reality they reflect. What, you know, whether they are actually.
Well, it's certainly true that all figures are averages, and the main figures we look at are national averages, and we don't have enough information to break them up by state.
Or even lower than that. I mean, you could go even more local than that if you want. Just a couple of texts, though, that underscore this point. A text message just came in. What about underemployment? So that is that the employment figures might be a little bit misleading.
Look, that's true, but it's always true.
Yeah, no, I guess
right.
That's right.
So it's really not part of the explanation. Unless you can say underemployment is very much higher than it was a year ago, it's not part of the story.
Text from Kim says, the river has become a drain. The creek ecosystems are dead and gone. $1,017 for ute rego. Been casual for 8 years, no holidays. My life was stolen by the bosses. Is it maybe that economic data doesn't tell us much about how much we're actually enjoying our life, our quality of life, and so we're substituting those two things too much in our national discourse, while at the personal level we just feel less happy?
I think there's some truth to that. I think that all these economic statistics that economists study and quote aren't really going to how people feel. They're not really going to how their lives have been changed for better or ill by economic developments. It's very hard to measure that, and we don't even try. So I think there's a big element of truth to that. But in this debate, when you hear people complaining, for the most part, I think I'm right in saying they're complaining about, for the most part, about fairly material things. Mm. The cost of living is going up. I don't make enough money. I'm worried about losing my job, etc.
So are we whingers, Ross?
I think we are. I think part of this story is that we haven't had a decent recession, a decent's not the right word.
I was going to say.
A severe recession. We haven't had a severe recession for 20 years. People don't remember how tough it really can be. Which, of course, everybody in the rest of the developed world has just been reminded how tough it can be. Mm. We haven't had that reminder, and we're sort of getting dissatisfied in our affluence.
The recession we had to have. Thanks for talking to us, Ross.
No, you won't pin that one on me.
No, it was a bit cheeky of me. I just thought I'd have a crack. Good to talk to you, Ross. We'll speak again soon.
Great, Waleed.
Ross Gittins, economics editor with the Sydney Morning Herald, speaking to us there.